Morning. Thank you, Melba. How's everybody this morning? Bueno. Did anybody get any snow? Where did it go? I have to tell you, I looked in my rain gauge. We got a half an inch of water out of that, so that's wonderful. And if you are like me that monitor the drought monitor for our nation and our area is doing quite well. So I am grateful for the water. Do any of you read the comics or follow the comics in the newspaper or have a favorite comic? Am I the only one? Maybe. There's a comic out there called Pickles. Have you ever heard of Pickles? It's about an elderly couple named Opal and Earl. Comic this last week, I thought it was wonderful. The middle of the week, they're sitting together on a bench and they're kind of just being thoughtful, and Opal says, you know, I think of my mother. She's been gone for years, but I think of her every day. And she says, do you think she's looking down on us? And thank you, Michael. And Earl says, absolutely. He says, you know how nosy she was. By way of announcements, there's a card being passed around to sign for Will Morris. On the back of the bulletin, we note, as well as have announced here, his cancer. And it is a terminal diagnosis, so we want you to be aware of that and be thoughtful and send him our care and let him know we're praying for him. What other announcements do we have for the good of the order this morning? I don't see anyone. We want to welcome everybody. We want to welcome all the people online. Our numbers online are increasing. We're always glad to have new viewers, and we're always glad to build the community of Christ, the family. Some people that may join want to remain anonymous. That's wonderful. Others, send us emails. Let us know how we're doing, what we're doing well, or where we need to improve. We continue on the journey. But we are here first and foremost to be about offering Christ, to be about learning and growing, and to give our worship in the morning. No other announcements, and anybody else? Let's stand and wave hello to one another and turn to our call to worship. Miss Diana, please.
Good morning, everyone. If you'll join me in the call to worship. God is good all the time. Our Lord knew us before we were born. God, our loving parent, thank you for your constant presence. Thank you for raising us up as your children. The Lord our God loves us beyond our comprehension. God is revealed to us in unexpected places. God meets our needs in all of our different ways of life. God is with us here and now. All the time, God is good. If you'll join me now in singing Joy in the Morning, found in the little black hymnal, on page 2284.
Every heart, every voice, hunger
Okay, if you'll be seated. Our scriptures today, the first one comes from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11, 39 through 40. This is found in the Old Testament on page 483 and through 487 in our pew book, in our pew Bible. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of the wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in a time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from evil and saves them because they take refuge in him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
By way of prayers and concerns, on the back of the bulletin you see our list of prayers and concerns. Do we have any updates on any of those? Do there any things you want to add? Want to continue to pray for peace in the Middle East. The repatriation of some of the hostages is very good news. The release of the different parties may bring some bit of balm to that region, but it is still a struggle. We need prayers for both sides of that conflict. And in Russia, Ukraine, that struggle exacerbated. Stephanie has asked for prayers for our government and for government employees. Right now it seems that government employees or anyone in the public employee of any kind seems to be under threat and to be doubted, if you will. And that's difficult. That's an overwhelming, painful piece of what's going on right now, and we need to lift one another, and we need to be prayerful in hopes that grace and peace will prevail. Other concerns in our midst. I don't see any. We should lift some of the gun violence that has occurred couple of different places. We can't give up on thinking of ways to overcome that. Solutions are not obvious and forthright, but we continue to seek those, amen? And by way of celebrations, on the back of the bulletin, we list at the bottom of the bulletin the people who are leading worship and who are and I am your in-year pastor. I'm not sure what happened there, but, you know, I have never been an in-year before, but it's a new job for me, and I'm trying new positions and things. So glad to be a part of that. Celebrations. Richard Schneer got out the snowblower and it started. You notice he completely cleaned the entire parking lot, the side streets. He went all the way. My front lawn, he cleared off it. Just was a wonderful job. Thank you, Richard, for your good work. And though I am teasing him, he did indeed come down in snowblow the day after the snow. And it was a little thicker that day, but he's done a good job of keeping up with it. And as I have said last week, we should have doubled his pay, but we'll work on that. Other celebration, the water that came out of that, I guess I mentioned, has brought us out of drought. We're continuing to be prospered in that respect. We need to be aware of those who are experiencing flooding, especially in areas where there have been fires, so aware of that. Paya, do you want to lift Nalu, or do you think we'll see him, and maybe he wants to speak a little bit to why he's hobbling around? I don't know if one of you want to mention something. Give the microphone to Nalu. Make him do the work. You want to hobble? Oh, come down front and say something. No, no. I'm teasing because he's on crutches.
Thank you all for your prayers and concern. I am scheduled for a MRI this coming Thursday, at which time hopefully we'll have a better idea of exactly what's going on in my knee, and we can from there plan what the path forward will be. But thank you once again.
Amen, amen. He told me he was just walking from the front of his truck back, and I doubt that. I'm sure he was trying to make one of those videos that wanted to go viral, and he was doing backflips off the top of his semi-truck or something. I don't know. Nalu, I hope you recover soon, and you know my teasing is in love. Other celebrations, concerns, other things before we get to the birthday list. Michael has a birthday on Monday. A happy birthday, Mikey.
Thanks a lot, I think.
Do you want to tell us, is this your 21st now? Are you finally legal? Or?
Well, 74th.
71? Okay, yeah, I don't believe that either. 74?
Yeah.
You're 74 today, or tomorrow, Monday.
Prefer not to be.
I'm not quite buying it, but that's all right.
Mars, so I'd be half that age.
I'm sorry?
I said I'd prefer to be born on Mars, where I'd be half that age.
Okay. Wednesday, Sandy Tenney is having a birthday, and she will be. Can I tell them your age, dear, or do you want to keep that kind of to yourself? 86 and growing. Amen, amen. Good for you, lady. On Friday, Ruth Mathias will turn 96, according to my information, and I know that they watch us, or I'm not sure they watch, they listen to the video, so the broadcast, which might have been a challenge a couple of weeks ago when we didn't have audio for some reason, but that's neither here nor there. Elizabeth having a birthday on Sunday, next Sunday, Paya?
Yes, she's
up front. Are you having a birthday? How old are you going to be, dear? Seven. Happy birthday, young lady. We'll probably get to tease you again next week, too, so worry about that. That's all that I have on my list. Do we have others? I don't see anyone else, but if there are those special milestones and memories, and whatever, we lift them, and we know that God knows them. What have I missed? I think we're in pretty good shape there. Okay, we did not get a chance to put into the bulletin. Melba's prelude was "To You, O God," and her offertory will be "Living for Jesus." And we didn't get those in the bulletin, but we're celebrating her nimble fingers here this morning. Anything else by way of prayers and concerns and our community? If not, let's turn to our unison prayer and let us read responsively. Most holy God, most holy God, thank you for our lives. Lives you have given us. Thank you for the people that come into our lives. Awesome people that bless us with joy and who reflect your light. Thank you also for the people who challenge us and that force us to grow. Lord, in this time of prayer, please bless those who are sick Lord, care for our loved ones who are far away. Through Jesus, send peace into the hearts of the mourning and lift the voices of the righteous. Let's turn to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, thank you for the beauty of this morning, the sunshine, the wonder, the beauty. It feels like spring is brimming all around, and with snow, it just adds to the moisture. Help whet our appetites, Lord, for the coming of the new growth and new life, and for Lent, and for the season of spring. We give you thanks, Lord, for all that you bless us with and all the prosperity around us. And as we come and we lift all of the blessings you give us, we're asking prayers for struggles and uncertainties and for strife and for doubt, for conflicts, for divisions. We lift those who are suffering from ailments of all kinds. Lord, Will Morris led this body for years, and we lift him in prayer. We lift his family. May they know the prayers of this gathered group, and may they know your grace and love. Lord, we lift the silent prayers of peoples worried about varieties of things, from employment to being deported, from angers over violations of misconduct and anger over people of differences, for nations and growth, and for the continued movement of your kingdom of God in our world. Lord, we seek your presence. And we come here to hear your word and to listen to the wisdom of songs and to hear the scriptures and to be taught and to reiterate within our own minds your guidance and directives. Help us, lead us, aim us. Afflict us where we have grown complacent. Challenge us where we are making excuses for behaviors that we know better. Be with your brothers and sisters, with our brothers and sisters around the world. Be with all of those who are hurting in various places. Bring healing, bring gifts of grace to doctors and caregivers. Bring wisdom to peoples of law and justice. And bring food to the hungry. Bring warmth to those who are cold. And bring love to those who feel unlovable. And bring wisdom to us gathered here that we might offer Christ. Lord, be with us. Be with us in this worship. Be with us in our days that come. Be with us as we center ourselves to begin this coming week and in every moment of every day. Lord, thank you for the blessings we've received. Thank you for the blessing of this church and the hard workers that do work for only smiles of gratitude. And thank you for Jesus Christ, born among us, Redeemer, Sustainer. Hear us, Lord, as we come and as we gather your people. Hear us as we lift our voices with the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's turn to Melba. She has an offertory, Living for Jesus.
Be moving a little slow today, but I'm here, and I almost didn't come today. I almost called the pastor and said, can't make it today, but luckily I had told Edna I was going to pick her up, and she's made quite a difference in me today, so I'm glad I'm here. Okay, we're going to, if you'll stand, and if you're able, and we'll have the reading from Luke 6, 27 through 38. And give me a minute. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners do good. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is merciful to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put back into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
Stephanie and the kids are making their way down for the video. The rest of you stand and join and get a little bit of aerobics if you are able and willing, and celebrate here. This was filmed. This was not filmed in my backyard. It was Richard's backyard, and as you'll see. But let's celebrate our Vacation Bible School song.
You're watching Life Tree Kids.
How does it feel When someone gives you a helping hand, how does it feel? When someone takes the time to get to know you,
hours later. Okay. You think I got lost? I left the pulpit there and walked away. There's a mirror up here. I'm not 100% sure why we have a, well, I do know. Any of you know why there's a mirror? It's up here and that is now sitting on the organ. So the organist that's facing that way can look in the mirror and see what's going on out here. Keep an eye on everybody. But the mirror is for something else this morning. I want you to look in the mirror. I'm going to pan along here. Look at yourselves in the mirror here. Can you see yourselves? All right, it's a pretty small mirror. But do any of you look in the mirror? In Jesus' time, mirrors weren't really. I mean, the best thing they had was if you took a piece of brass and you polished it as best you could. Have you ever seen a reflection in a brass mirror? It's pretty darn poor. There's some indications that mirrors came into being in the second or the fourth century China. But do you know when the common mirror for the common people, it became cheap enough for the average person. Take a guess. When do you think that happened? 1900 was a guess. What did you guess, Paya? 1950? Now, don't be naughty. About 1835, they figured out a method of silvering glass so that it would stay. They could do that. Very wealthy people could have glass flattened and something applied to the inside, but it was incredibly expensive. And it was not until about 1835 that it became a they had a process that worked. How about our reflections in water? Have you ever looked at your reflection in water? Have you ever seen a really good reflection of yourself in water? I mean, clear enough to... I don't know that I can picture any of the times when that was the occasion, but certainly happens. You remember Narcissus, the story of Narcissus, looked in the water, saw his own reflection, fell in love with himself. It's the origin of the word narcissism. So anyway, mirrors. How do you want to be treated in the world? How do you want to be treated? Do you smile at yourself in the mirror? When you go home, I want you all to go into the mirror there and smile at yourself. Have any of you ever seen me smile? I hope so. I smile usually when I make a really stupid joke up here, don't I? But that smile of happiness and joyousness and full of lifeness. Melissa has a smile that just absolutely thrills me to the depth of my being. She has a good smile. She said, I might be biased. But now while you're at home and you're busy smiling at yourself in the mirror and the rest of the people in your family are thinking, oh dear, what's wrong with them now? Now turn and instead of smiling at yourself, scowl at yourself in the mirror. I was going to try and scowl here, but I don't think I better even go down that path. You think that might be kind of dangerous, but scowl at yourself. I had a colleague that I was in seminary with, and she was third career. She'd raised her entire family, and after all the family was grown, she had gone to seminary, so she was not a spring chicken, is what I'm trying to say. And she was a sweet lady. She had worked as a librarian, and she fit that stereotype, and she was just always as sweet and kind and whatever. And 3 years in seminary with this woman, and on the last year of seminary, something happened. She had a friend, and they had some kind of a disagreement, and I saw her scowl at her friend. And it was the harshest thing I have ever seen in my life. And it just did not seem possible that her face could do that. Startled me deeply. I don't know how that resolved. I don't have the rest of that story. It doesn't matter, but I am sure I have scowled in my life. Scowl out of anger or out of fear or... But this is not life. This is darkness. So which visage do you want to present to one another? Which way do you want to present yourself to people? Yes, we are talking about the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's a simple, straightforward one. The kids just did it in the vacation Bible school thing, didn't they? It seems like straightforward. We don't talk about it all that much. And intriguingly, although this is a core teaching for what we're about, although this is a central tenet of what Jesus is talking about, although this walks to the very heart of the issue, we didn't have it until about the 17th century. The Golden Rule didn't exist till the Anglicans came up with it and began to talk about it as a concept and naming it as such. Excuse me. You would think I would do this in the spring. Not in the middle of winter, but here's... Now, what's intriguing is we didn't have the Golden Rule back in antiquity, but we had what was called the negative affirmation of the Golden Rule. That is the opposite. And there's a papyrus from 600 years before Christ, and it says, that which you hate to be done to you, do not do to another. It's the same thing, isn't it? It's the flip side of it, but it's saying the same thing. It's the ethic of reciprocity. That's what it's called, the Golden Rule. Now, I was teasing you, that wasn't really filmed. That the youth video wasn't really filmed in Richard's backyard. It was Stephanie's. But you don't know, you recognize that she has that much lake space. But, you know, she makes it work, and it, you know, and she has two dogs to pull you around and what have you. So how do we turn that and focus that? And how do we pause to say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? I have to tell you, one of my dreams for years has been to have a doctor call me and say they'd like to come in and talk to the pastor and make an appointment to come in. And I would say, okay, here, come in at 10. And then I would make them sit out there till 10:15 or 10:30 before I let them in. But that's not okay. The golden rule just says right here that this is right on out. I can't, even though that's something that has happened to me that I don't appreciate at all, and it's one of my pet peeves, to be honest. But that which I hate having done to me, don't do that to someone else. And sometimes we don't think about that. But maybe we need both sides of that, that ethic of reciprocity that says, do unto and don't do to. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Oh, that's a tough one. That is so hard. I am the worst when I'm behind the wheel of my car. You know that I'm a perfect driver. You know for a fact that I can show, if you would just film me driving around, people would be so benefited. That's a joke. But boy, do I would be a harsh traffic cop. You'd get tickets for every little infraction. And I recognize that about myself. And one of the rules that I've discovered is, especially when I see a little old man driving along, I try and picture it being my dad. My dad was not a perfect driver. He was a really good driver. But we were driving down the interstate one day, Glenwood Canyon. We're driving through the canyon. And he was driving along, and there was a state patrolman driving. And so he just went over in the left lane and went around him and went back in the right-hand lane, kept going, driving along. And all of a sudden, we're getting pulled over. He got a ticket for not signaling. And Dad says, I didn't know you had to signal if there's nobody else around. He was a little bit frustrated with it, but more just, I just didn't know that. I was just curious. Who would do that in front of a state patrolman intentionally? And what state patrolman, well, he was making a traffic contact. And that's okay. I was riding, there were three of us chaplains traveling with a detective from Fort Morgan. We were going to a conference, a teaching seminar in Loveland, Colorado. So you drive up and down I-76. So we drove to the conference, and we're driving back, and we're chattering along, and the detective was getting very quiet. And I wasn't really paying attention, but the car in front of us, and I was going pretty slow, and then it would go off, and pretty soon it's clear across the middle line, then it would get back in the lane again and drive for a while, and then it was starting to go off the edge, and then it would come back in, and we watched it for a little while, and he says, oh, no. So he got on the radio. He says, are there any units from Fort Morgan close enough that they can? We were in the county at that point in time, and his authority included that county. And there were nobody close. Was there any Colorado State Patrolman anywhere close? No, there was nobody. He says, ah, nuts. You see, he was in a business coat, he shirt and tie and a coat. He was not armored. He was not wearing his personal armor. He was not wearing his duty belt. He was not prepared to make a traffic stop. It's a dangerous situation. And so he turned on the lights on his car. He says, we got to make the stop. And the car kept going. And it was getting kind of worrisome to me. And he just laughed. He says, I can't believe it. We know what we're thinking here. You know, this is a telltale drunken driver. So finally he says, all right. And so he turns on the siren. So we drive probably for 30, 45 seconds before all of a sudden the driver realizes the siren is referring to them, looks in the rearview mirror, oh my goodness, went right onto the side and came to a stop. So he gave me his backup weapon, I kid you not, And he said, okay, we're going to go do this. And he says, dispatcher, I'm going to go make contact. And boy, we were tense. And he got up there and he did all of the correct procedures to protect himself. And then he's turned and he's just bent over and he's just kind of leaning in the window, just chatting away with this person. And we kind of relaxed then. And so chatted for a minute or so. And then then you see him reach in and he, driver's license and proof of insurance. And he comes back and he's shaking his head and he's chuckling. And we're looking at him. And he said, she's a school teacher. Yesterday was the last day of school. She got all finished with all of her paperwork, worked all the way through the night getting all of her paperwork done and turned in and packed. Now she's trying to drive home, and she says she's fallen asleep. She's absolutely exhausted, and she's just nodding off at the wheel. It's not a drunk driver at all. So he called in her license. It was all clear and everything, and he chuckled and went up and gave it to her and says, you know, it put the fear in her. It was a good thing because we watched her take the next exit to pull over to get some coffee at a rest area or at a restaurant there along the way. But it was this interesting thing. We had all made judgments and have to in that situation to be prepared, to be aware. But a cop could easily have arrested her and done all kinds of things. But treat someone as you'd like to be treated. It's a hard thing to do, especially in law enforcement, especially when situations can be very, very dangerous. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Same game, same place there. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. I'm working on that. I think I'm better at forgiving than allowing myself to be forgiven. See, I've made some mistakes. I hate to tell you that as your pastor in the pulpit, but I've made some mistakes in life that I wish I could take back, that I could do over. Some of those things I've said or failed to say at the right times. Give, and it will be given unto you. Well, we understand that one. We're not always good about it, but we understand it. In this day and age, we hear things on the news. We hear stories. And I am always read a news story, and immediately I want to see a picture of the person so that I can judge for myself whether this person is guilty or innocent just by looking at the picture. It is the silliest exercise I do. And I recognize it, so it won't go anywhere. And fortunately, I have no power to use that. But it's that tendency to say, I can figure all of this out. I know ahead of time. I can discern what's happening. Have you ever seen a movie? It's so old. Bowen Hadley, you're right on out of this, but it was a black and white movie back in the day called 12 Angry Men. Classic film. Henry Fonda, E.E. Marshall, Lee J. Cobb. Is that how you, yeah. Anyway, there's a jury pool. They have a court hearing, and they've been called to the jury, and this young man is accused of this stuff, and they get in the jury room and they vote and everybody says, yeah, hang him, you know, he's guilty, and 11 out of 12. And Henry Fonda says, well, I'm not so sure. Oh, they're angry at him. Have you ever been the one out of a group that is a standout, that's on the other side of the coin, that doesn't agree with the majority? It's a lonely place to be. And Henry, they flesh this out in the film. Of course, the film goes on, and gradually he makes arguments, and he challenges assumptions, and he challenges judgments, and he challenges some of the judgment that comes from this young man's ethnicity. And by the end of it, of course, they exonerate the young man. It's a brilliant film. It's still very classic and important. And it's an indictment of us about judging and about rush to judgment and about the dangers, but the rightness of standing up even when you're in the minority. This is intriguing that we have this before us, this golden rule. But it isn't just something that Jesus came up with. It's in the Old Testament. We heard Diana read it out of Psalm 37. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass. Do not fret because of the wicked. I read that and I blinked a couple times. Do not fret because of the wicked. Sounds like it's a little unsettling to me. But fret in the Hebrew, the word is kara. My Hebrew is atrocious, so just wave and say, okay, that's fine. But the definition, to be hot, to burn, to be angered, to be kindled, that's not fretting in my book. But it's the term that's being used here. This is, do not do these because of the wicked. Do not be angered and burn. And we understand what they're talking about. Fretting is what happens in mobs. Mobs fret and they ignite each other, and mob violence and mob mentality takes over and horrible things happen. Do not fret. I ought to have a poster made up of that. Do not fret. Knowing the Hebrew word and what it meant in the Hebrew definition, don't do that. Leviticus 19:18 says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We've heard that somewhere. Isn't that somewhere in the New Testament? Maybe I thought Jesus invented that. Isn't it lovely when we see that what an incredible scriptural scholar he was and how God is God through all ages? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Israel and Palestine today. I was in seminary, it was the 80s. Bowen Hadley, that's before your birth, isn't it? We had life back then to electricity, this modern telephone thing. But back in the age, and we were studying, and the professor out of the blue, New Testament said, he says, I think that Israel might be one of the most unstable or destabilizing influences in the world. And I was startled. I mean, I was not at that point at all a student of the nations and of the different things going on between countries and what have you. But I was startled. I assumed as biblical people we would be staunch allies and supporters of Israel in all things at all times. But Israel hasn't always done the right thing. And it's okay to name that and to call out what's happening there, the tragedies of how the Israelis treated the Palestinians to get to where they are, and how the Palestinians reprised that and treated the Israelis, and how the Israelis treated the Palestinians because they Palestinians, and the Palestinians treated the Israelis, and the Israelis treated the Palestinians. My mouth's getting tired. But that back and forth is exactly what the Bible is saying don't do. See where it's gone? See where it's taken us? See where we've gotten to? Hatred and reprisals. The Hatfields and the McCoys. So here's the mirror. I don't know if you could see yourself in it or not. I'll just kind of pan it around and see if any of you are smiling or not. From up here, I get a pretty good view of you all, you know. Some of you were napping out there a couple times. But what view do you want to present to the world? How do you want to be seen? I want to be seen as a Christian. And there are two views of Christians. There's condemning and judging and holier than thou Christians. And there are others that are not. And do not do to those that you don't want done to you. Pretty straightforward stuff. Those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Ah, there's good news. Good news that is mirrored by Jesus Christ himself, who brings us gifts of love, unconditionally, and salvation. Amen? All right. What do you think? Diana, you up for singing us, leading us, guiding us, directing us? My life flows on from the faith we sing, number 2212. Let's stand and sing if you are able.
This is one we haven't really sang before, so let's all try our best, okay?
Now, wait a minute. I thought I sent an email out asking Mark if you guys knew this one, and that you said it was familiar?
We practiced it Wednesday.
Yeah.
You practiced
we
it.
We did practice.
All right. Well, I want you to all sing it vibrantly, all right? There you go.
Or try, anyway. Yeah. Melba?
Since I am his, how
golden rule, the center of things, the core of how to be and where to be and who's to be and when we're about loving. Look at yourselves in the mirror when you go home. Check that out. Smile at yourselves. Scowl at yourselves. Then take a vote. Which would you rather present to the world? In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, think of the one that Christ presented to us. Amen? Amen. Let's join our hands, sing our closing. People said,
Amen. Amen.